All right, guys, that's right. As promised, actor extraordinaire in one of the top movies in America right now, Venom, which you can still catch in theaters. He plays Dr. Emerson. Actor extraordinaire, Wayne Perret on the line. What's up, Wayne?
Well, Sal, well, thank you for that very generous introduction there.
Well, you're certainly deserving of that generous introduction.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do appreciate it.
You're on the line with myself. My guest co-host is filmmaker James Berberick. Yeah. Karina Mandel's in studio. And
hey there, how you
actor
doing?
Actor Lion Beckwith also in studio. But wow, first of all, what I think is awesome, first of all, you're in a number one, former number one movie, I guess still in the top five movies in America. That means you're a part of the Marvel
right.
universe, but now I'm seeing that you're going to be a part of the DC universe in HBO's Watchmen. So you're a part of both franchises. I mean, that's got to be an amazing feeling.
It's a little freaky, you know, it's a little freaky. Mm-hmm. They're both, no, it feels great. It's good to be involved, and I think Watchmen is going to be a really solid solid project, and I'm excited to see what they do with it. But yeah, I'm very grateful that I'm able to, you know, cross between both worlds. And usually they're really good about, you know, once you're in, they kind of keep you involved. Which
that's
is
what's
nice
great about these, these comic book franchises, that they don't forget you, and you can cross over into anything. But I guess let's talk a little bit about Watchmen first. What can we expect out of this series? It's going to be on HBO. Are there going to be any ties to the original movie? And I see that you're playing a character named The Suspect. So,
yeah, well, most of the characters were that, you know. It was The Suspect, the something or other, which in more more commonly in films and television shows, it denotes a pretty small character in something, you know, just kind of a walk-on, but this is a little bit more substantial than that. But,
right.
But yeah, that was just sort of the device they use in the script. So most of the characters, a lot of the characters were, you know, named with that kind of convention. You know, I can't reveal too much about what's happening.
that makes sense.
But yeah, yeah, I think it's going to have a little bit different feel than the film, I would say. I thought the pilot was very well written, and you know, I think they have a solid cast with Jeremy Irons, and I work with Tim Blake Nelson mainly, who's fantastic. I love Tim.
Okay.
And
so you're a part of the pilot, the one episode with your character.
I am in the pilot. Yeah, I'm not sure what's you know, if they have anything in mind for later.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, I'm just involved in the pilot at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic enough as it is, and it's on HBO, which I'm happy to hear. The Watchmen can't be on like CW or one of those network shows. It has
right.
to be on
yeah.
like a premium channel like HBO to really give us, you know, similar to what the movie gave us, which is very gritty and a very adult-oriented superhero. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty dark, and so it needs a needs to live on a venue that can allow it to sort of stretch out and go to some of those dark places. And you're right, CW wouldn't be appropriate for that. But but that's another thing that gives me comfort and hope that you know, it'll have a good run, because I think it's on the right platform, on the right with the right network, so or cable.
And HBO, they're looking for their next kind of fantasy series to take place of the Game of Thrones when that wraps. So Watchmen and things like Westworld are the perfect things to kind of whet the appetite.
Right, yeah. So hopefully it'll be a good fit for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. So switching gears to Venom, congrats on the success. I mean, it was a number one movie for 2 weeks until, of course, a number one movie now is Halloween. But again, congratulations
right.
on your role as Dr. Emerson. Tell us a little bit about your experience on set working with such greats. I guess you work very closely with Tom and Jenny Slate.
Well, it was mainly, it was Riz and Jenny, mainly, because, I didn't really cross up with Tom's stuff, although I did, oddly enough, I worked with him on Fonzo, but again, it was one of those things where we didn't really get to cross paths that much, but, But yeah, Riz was fantastic. Really just a very, very sweet
Riz
guy.
Ahmed, really he did a fantastic job in that role. And yourself as well, and Jenny, I thought the cast as an ensemble just did a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I thought it was a good group, and it was fun to go in every day to see kind of what was going to get thrown at us, because a lot of things on this particular film, they made a lot of adjustments on the fly, which more so than most projects that I've worked on. Mm. There was a lot of throwing things at people on the day, which it happens. You know, it can happen at any time, but it was more so in this project than anything else I've worked on. So I'd like come in and say, oh yeah, Wayne, you're going to do this today. We changed this around, and here's some new stuff. So, it can be fun, but it also can be stressful. Like, oh, wait a minute, I wasn't expecting, I didn't know my character was going in this direction. So you start thinking about what you've done previously and said, okay, wait a minute, how do I justify this from where I've been so far? And for by and large, we shot it in order, which is very unusual. But my stuff with Riz and everything, it ended up being, to a large extent, shot in order for some reason. I don't know why they did that.
Wow,
but,
that's kind of rare.
So that's very rare.
Yeah. It's very rare, yeah. But the thing was, we were changing sets a lot. So... and the control room was in a different location than the sort of inner office workings, so launch control was in a different, completely different location. So that stuff obviously was shot all together, and all of the office things were shot together. And, they're trying to shoot it, pretty, you shoot out locations, obviously, on film as much as you can. So it just happened to work out that we shot virtually exactly in order for my stuff, which is, in general, it's a good thing, I would say. And in this particular instance, it made it abundantly aware that whenever they threw me something that was different than I expected, it was abundantly clear, like, wait a minute, okay, we just did this scene and I was sort of coming from this place, the relationship was here. Now I'm shifting to, it seems like you're pushing me in a little bit different direction with the relationship. So, so making adjustments can be sort of challenging to justify. But I think it worked out.
All right. So one thing I noticed, which is interesting, that you actually had a role in Spider-Man Homecoming as a history teacher. And they have yet to, I guess, confirm whether Venom is linked to Spider-Man. Obviously, in the comic books, it is. Were they aware that you had a role, I guess, in Homecoming when they cast you in Venom?
I'm sure they did, but I don't guess it mattered. It's just really, I really just did a cameo for Homecoming. It was one of those last minute things,
right?
That I got called in on. So yeah, Wayne, come do this thing. That was another instance where they just threw me pages on the day. Oh yeah, listen, here's your stuff for today. We changed it. Okay. But yeah, I don't think they really cared. And like you said, I'm not sure when they're going to make the tie-in.
Right.
I'm sure they will. They tend to do it on all of them, and I'm sure they will. So I'm curious to see where they're going to go with that.
I feel like, I'm sorry, this is Lion Beckwith. Great to talk to you. I feel like with your body of work, man, like I feel like they're confident that they can do that with you, because, I mean, you are over and beyond what we would call a pro in this business, man. And, I just feel like they already know and they expect for you to be able to handle stuff that's thrown at you last minute. Does it all just seem kind of like just second nature now at this point, though?
Yeah, I guess there's a certain level of comfort after you've been working for so many years, and that is what you get with an experienced actor when they're casting and they say, okay, wait a minute, we have a choice between these folks, and because there are a lot of us out there, a lot of actors out there, obviously, and the unfortunate thing is sometimes they don't realize the value that they're getting. So, certain actors would be thrown and be panicked, and when you're throwing them pages, and I've had to memorize, two-page monologues in an hour to do on something that, would change last minute for Zoo. I had a monologue in there, and you know, again, that was one of those things. Oh, no, no, we're not doing that anymore. We changed it around. They gave it to me on the day. So I'm in makeup, you know, memorizing these lines. So, yeah, having, you know, that amount of time in the business and having done so many things, I think it gives me a certain level of comfort where I don't panic. It's sort of like, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but I just saw Free Solo this week.
Oh, nice.
With, I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's Alex Honnold climbing El Cap.
I do want to see that, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. It's wonderful. But, you know, in preparation for his climb, you know, he's climbed El Cap, you know, probably 60 times over the past 10 years. But to free solo it obviously means with only your hands and your feet, you know, and no gear. You have a chalk bag, you have your climbing shoes, and it's you by yourself, no assistance, no rope, no other gear, no nothing. And so part of the thing, you know, for him to be able to climb that, he had to climb it enough and go over that route to be able to step back and say, okay, wait a minute, yeah, I can climb this thing. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea for me to climb this 3,000-foot sheer face, you know? So in a sense, that, you know, it's not obviously exactly the same, but I think there's at least a small similarity with that.
Yeah, I see where you're – I definitely see where your connection
before.
Is.
I can climb it again, you know.
Right. And
so, hopefully they trust me to say, oh, yeah, we'll get this guy because we know we're not going to – well, and you also make your day. You know, we'll shoot it. We're not going to have to spend, you know, do take after take after take after take because this guy's going to flub his line or just give us, you know, crap. You know, this guy will come in and do it.
And that's another thing. You know, please, man, Wayne, do not – you say, you know, there's a ton of actors out there. Please know that
we just lost Wayne. Was it Karina?
Karina somehow. He was talking.
I'm sure Wayne will call right back.
And she just had to jump in there. And gosh, man, Wayne.
Sitting here like an angel. I don't know what you're talking about.
Please call us back.
Lion, did you get a chance to see Venom?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah,
what were your thoughts?
Yeah, our boy is in there. I thought it was pretty decent. I mean, I enjoyed it. I actually had a couple friends in there. And,
okay.
So yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was, you know, I like the way they did it. Usually a lot of times, you know, they do CGI and we're like, come on, you know.
The CGI of the symbiotes,
but it was
good,
really good, you know.
It was solid.
And Tom Hardy is a excellent actor. You know, he's going to bring it every time. And
he's a Brit, and I guess he was playing. Was he a New Yorker he was playing? But whatever he was playing an American, and he was very convincing. I mean, you see a lot of these British actors like. Andrew Lincoln, for one, trying to portray a convincing Southerner from Atlanta.
But that's just like Wayne was saying, you know, certain actors you just know you're confident, you know, mm-hmm. they're gonna bring it. That's why they keep hiring them,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. so you with a person at the level of Tom Hardy, he's at that level because you can be confident that hey, we're gonna hire this guy and we're gonna get our money's worth.
Right,
right,
for sure.
So I think that's Wayne.
There we go. Don't scare him away.
Wayne, do we have you?
Wayne, I thought it was something I said where I was like, can he smell my breath through the phone? What happened?
that would be a good reason that he
right. I was like, please, Wayne. But jumping right into what I was saying, man, one of the things that you said was, you know, there's a ton of actors, but please understand that we here at Below the Belt acknowledge and other people in the business of knowledge that you are one of the greats, man. Your portfolio is ridiculously. Your portfolio is that of, like, we're all actors here in the studio, and we dream to have such a portfolio as yours, man. And so never short yourself, dude. You are totally awesome, and you're great. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, yeah. Well, I guess from segue to that. Let's talk about a film that I feel without the controversies that surrounded a certain actor that worked on this film, it would have done a lot better, and that's Billionaire Boys Club. I know that you had a role in that. Of course,
the
one and only Kevin Spacey, who obviously has been...
Had some issues
and caused the film, I guess, not to get a theatrical, or a very small theatrical release. And unfortunately, the movie did not fare well financially. Do you feel that the film would have done well had those scandals had not, you know, plagued the film?
Well, I do. Yeah, I think it would definitely have done. I mean, you have a good cast there, a very solid cast. I think it's an interesting story. I thought I enjoyed working with James Cox on it. I thought he was very loose as a director. I'd never worked with him before. But it felt like a set where he was creating a space where, you know, actors could really, you know, take some chances. And I think that's really important, you know, if they're able to take some chances and hang their nuts out there a little bit, as they say. I think you tend to get some good results. I don't know if I could say that. Are we live? We're live, aren't we?
Can we talk about your experience working with Kevin?
I didn't. I was there on the same day as Kevin. A few days, I should say, or a week or so, and Kevin was there because they came in. He was working on other things, so they would fly him in for different moments. So I was there on, definitely some of the days he was there, but I didn't have any scenes with him, and I have to say. You know, there were a lot of young guys on that set.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, I was more interested in hanging out with them. And I didn't see him do anything. I didn't see anything happen. And, you know, I'm sure everything was fine on that set. But he wasn't very, I wouldn't say he was gracious. He didn't really reach out to me. I had a couple of opportunities because we'd kind of cross paths occasionally. And I hadn't worked with him before, so we didn't have a relationship. And there were a couple of times, where I was going to go walk up to him and introduce myself and say, hey, you know, whatever. Because I'm a fan of his work. I think he's a wonderful actor. But I didn't feel he was receptive to that. And maybe it was whatever scene they were working on the day. Yeah, and again, I didn't see anything happen. So I mean, obviously there've been a lot of reports of things, and everything sounds really plausible. And you know, there've been stories floating around about Spacey for a long time.
Oh yeah,
and,
well,
so I was familiar with stories.
It's funny, because here in Baltimore, okay, so we've all actually the actors in the room have been on Veep, and
House of Cards.
I mean House of Cards, geez.
Right.
We've been on House of Cards, and we knew, like in Baltimore, you already knew about Kevin Spacey's lifestyle before it came out. And
oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. We all knew. Like, I have three friends, personal good friends, that he has hit on. Young, nice-looking white guys that is his type.
Really?
That is his type. It is his person. Three of my friends he's hit on. So it's no secret. It is no secret in Baltimore that he was, you know, he was gay. We all knew it. So when it came out, we were like, okay, and like we know that already.
Right.
The world.
But you just weren't his type, Wayne. I'm sorry. You just weren't his type.
Yeah, it wasn't just the fact that he was not just the fact that he's gay. It's some of the, you know, that he was obviously seeking out underage boys, you know, which was problematic. You know?
Right. And if you were
priests anymore.
He would have paid you more attention if you were, Wayne. That was just the
case.
Well,
there's a good chance that, yeah.
I mean, God.
I definitely got that sense that he was more drawn to, you know, spending time with them. And,
yeah.
You know, of course, all those guys, they're adults. I mean, how old is Ansel?
Ansel's, yeah, know, he's rough. He's mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Ansel and the rest of those guys are a little older, but they're, you know, there's some really, you know, some face jocks and some really handsome young men. So, you know, I'm sure he was more inclined to hang out with them.
Right.
Than me.
But you didn't see anything, so there you go. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you know, because I didn't, and really on set, you know, especially when you're working with the major stars, I don't go out of my way, you know, if they don't know me and they don't know my work, we haven't worked together, I don't go out of my way to you know, talk to them or make a big deal out of it or take pictures or any of that stuff. You know, I mean, to me, they're just contemporaries, and I just go and I do my work. And you know that they're hounded all the time, and people are, you know, globbing on them. So I just try not to fall into that stuff. Now we're working together directly in a scene. That's different. Then we get to work together, and we establish rapport as actors.
Right.
You know, we develop respect then, and then they're usually a little bit more open after we've worked together. Then they start saying, oh yeah, okay. You know, I mean, we're The Big Short, Christian Bale, perfect example.
Another great film. Congrats on that.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Really fun day, you know, because we shot that, you know, my stuff we were able to shoot in a day. But great scene, you know, they used it in the trailer, had a great, it was a, just a really fun day, you know, on the set. And, you know, I didn't introduce myself before we started that scene, and we'd done a few takes, and then I, you know, said, oh, Christian, by the way, I'm Wayne. Oh, yeah, great, you know, and we had a nice little chat. Another really nice guy. I mean, just really, really approachable, really warm. And Tracy Letts, obviously, who was in the scene with me as well, another great, great guy. I don't make a big deal out of these guys. I mean, they're people that I really respect, obviously. Christian Bale is a great example. But again, to me, okay, we're both actors. We've been doing this a long time. We're contemporaries, and, you know, I don't need to make a big deal out of it. You know, I don't, the sort of the mystery is gone. You know, it's like, okay, you know, we're just doing the same thing. You happen to, you know, be an A-lister, and, you know, I'm an A-minus lister.
You know, all right, so with that being said, if, let's say you had the option of making a movie and casting it, name five people that you would love to either work with again or work with that you haven't worked with for the first time that would star with you in a movie.
That's an interesting question. Let's see who else.
Who was the first one?
Work with Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
That's a good one.
I would like to work with Sam Rockwell again. I worked with him on Galaxy Quest, but I'd love to work with Sam again.
Yes.
Classic. Really wonderful, wonderful actor.
Great job in Three Billboards.
What's that?
Did he?
Three Billboards, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else? Let's see.
You can do this, Wayne.
What's that? I know, right? Something I don't really.
A certain Trumbo co-star, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of some female actors now because I've just been saying men. Yeah. You know? So, who would I want to work with? I mean, there's so many of them. I worked with Laura Dern recently, who was fantastic. I love to work with Laura again. Trial by Fire. Yeah, which I'm curious to see what they're going to do with that. But
I auditioned for that.
Oh, did you?
I auditioned for that role. Yeah. Okay, cool. I auditioned for, I believe his friend was named like Omar or something. I can't remember. But he had a best friend that was in there, and the casting director loved me. And because I did something for her before, and she got me to audition for that, and because they talked through this, they were cell buddies, they became real close friends, and I was supposed to be that friend, but the guy from Ozark got the part though.
Oh yeah.
Isn't
that that's how it happens.
I mean, I got Wonder Woman. I'm a principal role in Wonder Woman, so I got that.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Yeah. Has there been an audition or a role that you really wanted that you were close to booking, Wayne, that you maybe just missed by a hair?
Oh, there have been tons of them over the years, you know? And it's a lot of times it's the thing that he was just mentioning. You have somebody who has a little bit more clout, you know, larger name recognition, and they just swoop in. So, you know, they pin you, they do that thing. Oh, he's pinned, and he's everybody's first choice. And then you're like, oh, right. Yeah, we went with whoever else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's happened quite a bit. And I was actually, one project that I was bummed about was Django Unchained. I was cast, and we cast it months out, Tarantino, and had a great meeting with him, and really fun audition. You know, there was a scene, and the idea was he was going to be shooting from inside of a railroad car, and part of the scene was one of these auctioneers or something was going to come in, and it was a sequence of things, but just a small part of it was, you know, that I come in and I'm looking down in the railroad car at slaves, and so Tarantino's lying on the ground. And he has me, stand on this chair. I'm looking down at Quentin Tarantino, hopefully not drooling on him, you know. And but wow. really great guy, really great to chat with, and you know. But anyway, so I was casting this thing, and we had this great sequence, you know. And in the middle of it was this big card scene with it was going to be DiCaprio, Sacha Baron Cohen, me, and somebody else, and I can't remember who the other actor was. And so it was cast, and again, you know, it was 15 pages. It was a real good, long, nice Tarantino scene. And, you know, obviously with a little bit of violence and whatnot, but mainly a card scene and talking about, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to buy your slave, and I'm going to put up the slave girl for the whatever, the pot, you know, for the poker that we were playing. And, anyway, it goes back and forth. Oh, we're rehearsing in Los Angeles. Oh, we're going to rehearse in Louisiana because it was shot in New Orleans, in and around New Orleans. Oh, no, we're going to rehearse them because I wanted to rehearse the thing. And then, you know, like a week before we were supposed to shoot, I get a call. Oh, yeah, we cut the scene. And it was, but the script was, you know, 200 pages. Wow. So they were going to have to cut something. And so that was a disappointment because it was just a fantastic scene. And, I really wanted to work with those guys. I thought we'd had a great day.
Yeah.
But
hopefully Tarantino like will, you know, consider you for his next one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly. Yeah, and make it up to me.
Matter of fact, he's going to put that same scene in another movie. It's not going to fit at all, but just because.
The new one he's doing with DiCaprio. He's got another one he's filming with DiCaprio, which Burt Reynolds was supposed to be a part of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds had passed away right before he was supposed to shoot his scenes.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, isn't that horrible? So I actually worked on a project called Shock and Awe. Got to work in the military for that, which is awesome. Awesome experience working with Rob Reiner. Tell us about your experience on set and your character in the film.
I'm like an intelligence source for the CIA. And Rob, it was actually the day before the election, the last presidential election, and so it was an interesting,
interesting
time to be on set.
Yeah,
yeah, we're talking, and but we had some great political conversations, and it was a very kind of curious time then. But
the day before the world
ended,
right?
It was really
curious.
So when the election results were announced on set, what was the vibe like?
Well, no, we actually shot before the. I was done.
You were done before the announcement. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that was my last day.
It
was the day before the election.
I see.
But Rob was really fun and kind of cantankerous. I don't know what your experience was, but he and the DP had this thing going. Like they would just berate each other, but it was all shtick. You know, it was just part of their shtick for the. I guess they worked together before or whatnot, but they were just at each other all the time. And if one didn't know it, like at first I was thinking, "Oh shit, man, some bad times going down here." But you know, I talked to one of the makeup people or something. I said, "Oh yeah, they do this every day. They're just having fun with each other." You know, it's just great to be on set with someone with such history. And, you know, I'm a big Spinal Tap fan, so I didn't talk to him about Spinal Tap because I'm like, everybody probably talks to him about Spinal Tap. But,
of course.
But, you know, I grew up watching All in the Family. So, you know, he was the meathead. You guys know that show, right? Anyway, my mom had me tell him hello and, you know, reference him as the meathead, so I did that for my mom. And I think he tolerated it. I don't know if he appreciated it, but he definitely tolerated it.
Yeah.
I had to do
I just said, oh, my mom loved you on, on All in the Family. We used to watch it, whatever I said. I didn't make a big deal out of it.
I had to do that with Victor Newman. I worked with him in a movie called Den of Thieves. And you remember Victor Newman, right? Sadly, Well, the director name was Christian Gudikas, but he was actually Victor Newman's son. Sadly, I can't remember Victor Newman's real name, but you know from the stories, Young and the Restless.
From Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
I sounded familiar.
Yeah, so I shot with him in Den of Thieves. So of course, my grandmother loves Victor Newman, and I had to have him tell my grandmother hi. So yeah, I'm with you on that. But don't think that you're still off the hook because you still got three more people to name. But
yeah. Oh shit, really?
Well, you know what? You actually have three amazing films, which I can tell from IMDb, based on I guess the cast, because you're working with one of my favorites in Matt Walsh, in a film called The Stand-In, and then you're also working on a film called Semper Fi, with an amazing cast including. Jack Courtney and Leighton Meester. What can you tell us about these films coming up?
Let's see, Semper Fi. That I'm curious to see. You know, that one I'm not sure. we'll see. I mean, the director, was it Reuven? He had done a lot of commercials beforehand. That was his sort of main, genre, I guess, that he was working in. Was it not a genre? But that's how he made a living doing commercials. Mm-hmm. And I think he brought those sensibilities into making the film. So he was, in my experience, nice guy, very nice guy. But I thought he was held the reins a little bit too tight. And a little bit too controlling, I would say. Maybe it's as if he had visualized the entire movie beforehand with himself acting it out, and it felt like he was trying to impose his choices as if he were acting in it on the actors, which is always a bad thing to do. I mean, you cast the person you cast so they can bring their own thing to it.
Right, exactly.
And when you approach it as if the actors are marionettes, puppets. And they're just supposed to, you pull the strings and they're supposed to, do exactly what you expect them to do. I think, you're just screwing the pooch, it's not going to work. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. Okay. Again, he's a nice guy. I didn't really have any problems with him. But I thought, I think you need to loosen the reins a little bit and let your actors
I always expect people
breathe
to do that one.
And give him a chance to fail, too. You know, because I think great acting is on the edge, It's a little bit on the edge. It's on the edge of failure always. So when you rein it in too tight, the performances are just stiff and not authentic. Now,
that's
the stand-in was a completely opposite experience. Was a much looser set. And I think it's
a comedy.
That one should do well. Yeah, I think it felt like on set that they were finding the right tone. I had worked with Laura before on something a few years back. What was the name of it? I can't remember. But she's just a sweetheart. She's the sweetest thing. I had a feeling that the chemistry between she and I believe it was Noah there was something there. So and I think for the film to work, that's going to be important.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I think that one will do well. I'm not sure how big of a release.
It's got a good cast. I mean, Camila Mendez is big television star from Riverdale. Obviously, she's Veronica. And then, of course, yourself, and like you mentioned, Laura Morano, and one of my favorites, Matt Walsh. And last but not least, you're working with one of my favorites, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, in a film called Walk Away Joe.
Yeah, I hadn't worked with Jeffrey before. But yeah, another great guy. We had a good time on set. He's obviously pretty busy. Still finishing up with The Walking Dead and everything. So he was another actor that they
Wait a minute, finishing up? No, it was a little spoiler, trying to fish some spoiler up.
No, I think it's for the season, right?
How for the season, gotcha.
Just finishing up indefinitely,
right?
No. I wouldn't know that anyway. He wouldn't share that with me if that was happening. but they were juggling him. He happened to have, a week or so, or maybe he had a week and a half. I'm trying to remember how much he had. So they, they scheduled everything to shoot him out as quickly as possible. But he was just fun to work with. You're on these sets. Some of these scenes are, especially when you're working in a smaller budget, it was a smaller budget film. You're waiting around while they do setups because you're trying to help them move quickly.
Yep.
As opposed to, taking a break, you go back to your trailer and have them get you and then walk you back out. So on these smaller things, a lot of times you'll just hang out on the set, So we're sitting in a car because there was some sequences inside of a car. And so, we're just hanging out in there for a few hours at a time. And that's when you really get to know somebody. You're in close confines and you're stuck there not going anywhere. So you get to...
That's how I felt with Kevin Spacey.
What's that?
I said, that's how I felt with Kevin Spacey.
No, I'm joking. No, Lord.
I'm just kidding.
And Wayne, last but not least, you get to work with Tom again in Fonzo. I think we alluded to it earlier, but you get to work with Tom a second time in this film about Al Capone.
Yeah, now that should be really, really interesting.
Tom must love you. I don't know if he brought you on board or, or maybe you guys just have this great... working relationship. Who knows?
No, I don't think he had anything to do with it. But it'd be nice to, nice him if he did. I really hope it has legs because it's a Al Capone near the end of his life,
mm-hmm.
and he was kind of losing his marbles. So it's a very interesting time period in the history of it's really American history. I hope that they're able to get a good advertising budget, a good P&A budget, so they can get publicity out there and get
absolutely
get people in the theaters. But again, with Tom in it, and I do think it's probably in one of those award, good for the award season. But I don't think it's going to be done. I don't know. Is there a release on it? Do you know if there's a release date on it?
Yeah, I don't see a particular release other than it's in post-production, so it might be...
so I doubt a film. It'll
probably in 2019, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It'll probably be like spring or something, or maybe they'll even hold it to the fall, because that tends to be a good time for that, for if they want awards considerations. But I think that one's going to have legs. I think that one's going to do well.
I kind of get that feeling, too.
So, Wayne, what are you on social media, man? I would definitely like to keep track of the rest of the things that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm a little bit late to the game, unfortunately, but I finally started an Instagram account.
Oh, good.
Good and, for you, Wayne.
You got the blue check?
Just Wayne Perret is the is the son of Wayne Perret. And my website is down right now because I'm rebuilding it, but there's WaynePerret.com. And
nice.
It's the same thing with the Facebook, the fan page. So, nice. So please do.
Look for
follow me. There'll be more content coming soon. So yeah, please.
Yeah, look for us.
Me. Stay in touch. Message me.
My name is Lion Beckwith. It's L-Y-O-N, and this is Al Soto.
You want Wayne to follow?
A-L-S. Oh yeah, Wayne, you got to follow us back, Wayne. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, you got Lion Beckwith.
How do you spell your last name?
Beckwith. So my first name is spelled L-Y-O-N.
David Beckham, but not.
I'm looking you up here on the IMDb. I'm sitting in front of the computer.
Oh, okay.
Look at you, man. You look Samoan. Are you Samoan?
It's funny. I played Samoan in Den of Thieves with
that's good, man.
Gerard.
I think
ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah, I am whatever they paid me to be that day, Wayne.
That's great, man. Look at you. You've been working.
Yeah, no, and they didn't even put my Wonder Woman credit up. We do pretty well here. We're not only just fans, Wayne. We're in the biz together.
That's great, man.
But that's why I say to you, you know, like, do not short yourself, because, like, people like me and Al really look up to, like
yeah,
people
man.
Like you. And,
absolutely.
And we follow you, man, and you're the type of careers that we want, that we're trying to patent our hours after.
Yeah,
and
just like a blue-collar actor, man. It gets out there and just works, you know?
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with that.
Wayne, tremendous. Thank you so much for interviewing here on Below the Belt Show. Check out Venom in theaters now. Dr. Emerson himself, Wayne Ferre. Of course, his upcoming films, The Stand and Semper Fi. The Watchmen on HBO. My gosh, you have so many awesome things coming out. Wayne, before we let you go, if you could, let us know who you are. Throw out a few of your projects, Venom and a few others. And let us know you're on Below the Belt Show, and throw out whatever you want at the end.
Okay. Let's see. Below the Belt. All right. Should we go?
Yep.
Hi, this is Wayne Ferre, actor from Venom, The Big Short, The Watchmen, Spider-Man Homecoming, and a few others. I am on Below the Belt. And, thanks for listening, guys.
That was wonderful.
Awesome.
Wayne, have a good night. Thanks
so
much
for calling, Wayne. It was great.
Glad you gave us a second chance from the debacle from last week. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome.